to introduce.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Jacob Albrock on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, we roll into hour number two. Proof positive that Chad Chambers is not just another pretty face. He works hard for his money. So, Jad, when was the last time a four seed hosted in the AFC or NFC championship games? You've got a an example, don't you?
Yeah, and it's the only time it's ever happened. January 18th, 2009, the Arizona Cardinals hosted the Philadelphia Eagles. Cardinals were the four seed.
Okay, so the Cardinals, the four seed against the Eagles in 2009. So not that long ago then.
13 years.
Yeah, 13
it's
years
a little
ago.
Disappointing to realize 2009 was 13 years ago, but it was.
Oh, God. It was on CBS, which is a great benefit to you guys. I wonder what the numbers were like on that game last night. Oh, my God.
Probably close to what the Cowboys would draw. I bet it's close.
I mean,
those Cowboys games are always stupid high.
Sure.
But I bet it was close, if not right there. I don't know how fast. We may get those returns tonight.
At least late this afternoon, something like that. We'll know something. I mean, I can't imagine. Every single person that I know was watching that game.
Oh, and if they weren't, they got tuned in once they realized what was happening.
I mean, people that don't watch TV, that don't watch football games, were watching that game. I mean, if I could read you just the thread between my wife and I on that. She had various levels of confidence that the Chiefs were going to get it done or not done.
Is she a Chiefs fan?
Not really a Chiefs fan. More of a Chiefs fan because of growing up and where she spent so much time. But she's more of a Bears fan. So she's a Bears fan first. She got huge love from Robbie Gould beating the Packers. That was her moment of the weekend until last night. Because Robbie Gould, obviously former Bears kicker, beats the Packers. And by the way, Gould kicked that ball and was walking off the field. It was as good as a mic drop as you could possibly get. Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, but she had... Let me just say she had very descriptively indicated a lack of confidence in Harrison Butker. She was very flowery in talking about her lack of confidence in Harrison Butker. And obviously she was very pleasantly surprised that he was able to make the kick and win that game. Then she
My
was
mother-in-law
pissed
was
that
texting
she didn't
me
have
from-
overtime. Yeah.
So. My mother-in-law, the Chargers fan, was texting me just like,
"Oh my God,
what
right?
is happening?" I'm like, "I'm telling you."
Well, I think anyone that was paying attention probably knew that that was going to be the game, that it could be delivered in the package that it ended up being delivered in. I don't think anyone could have forecast, but my God, how thankful are we to have had that game. All right, Niners beat the Packers. Let's start from the beginning. Bengals beat the Titans for the first game, and that was a damn good game. You had Derrick Henry coming back. You had Derrick Henry scoring out of the Wildcat. You had all kinds of elements in that game. and you had a field goal kicker that supposedly said to Joe Burrow, McPherson, this is Money Mac, as they call him, and rightfully so, 4 for 4, mm-hmm. including the game winner. But supposedly the conversation was, as McPherson goes by Joe Burrow, did you read this? Hey, we're going mm-hmm. to the AFC Championship. And then kicks the damn thing through. I'm all for that. That's why, and by the way, Jacob, that's why you draft a kicker. And I was reading in the Cincinnati Press, someone very interestingly went back to the reaction of them using a draft pick on a kicker, which they did, what, a couple of years ago. And, oh, my God. Well, all of those people ate a hell of a lot of crow yesterday or this weekend because he was the difference in the football game. A kicker was the difference in the football game. 4 for 4 and the game winner.
He's fantastic.
Unbelievable. Fantastic. Really good. And automatic. Just automatic. Range and accuracy. What a weapon, man. What a weapon. When we had them here, and McManus, Brandon McManus, who's got a great leg too for the Broncos, and when those two were out on the field in pregame, which usually I pay a little bit of attention to just to see where their range is and where they're comfortable. He was ripping 64, 65 yarders and just doing it like no big deal. Just boom. Ball was just booming off of his foot. Right down the middle. And my God, he was fantastic. I mean, was that the biggest takeaway from that game? A kicker?
It might have been. Well, I mean, it was.
Might have been.
What he was doing was, and in the wild card round too, right? He made a bunch of yes. field goals. Like he's not. I don't want to say he's been their MVP, but he's been right there. They're such an interesting team. Again, all I can think about is Bengals Chiefs, and you know we have to think so far ahead in what we do. And I'm like, did the Bengals really have a chance in this game? Like, are they gonna? They feel like such big underdogs, and it's recency. It's the recency of what we saw last night that's making mm-hmm. that feel that way. But you know, I'll tell you, 7 points is we didn't have any games last week with a 7-point spread. And that's where it's starting right now, and I'll bet you that number grows because I bet most of the money floods into the Chiefs here early.
Oh, yeah, I bet you're right. No, I would bet you're right. Evan McPherson, he has had this year, but not many. 9 of 11 from 50 yards out in his longest of the year, 58. Man, you're talking, that's cold-blooded, that dude.
Yeah. You got to have that kind of swag to be.
You do.
To go like that. Like, you have to be that confident. What's the last thing in the world you want? A not confident kicker? I want my kicker right? with that kind of cockiness.
He was taken in the 5th round.
I mean, he's a
kicker. And that's why people were like, what in the hell are you talking? What, we're taking a kicker in the 5th round? Well, guess what? Yeah, you're taking one in the 5th round. Got to have a guy that you can count on. And yeah. that dude, please tell me that it was true that he said, hey, we're going to the AFC Championship, and then went out.
It was reported from 2 or 3 different vantage points of the same thing. So it wasn't just like one offshoot. There must have been a lot of people talking about it post game. That was amazing yeah. post game. Are you kidding me? Andy Reid is going to deliver the when things are grim, be the Grim Reaper. By
oh
the
my
way,
God, Give me that line.
Are you kidding me? Andy Reid is going to give us the line we'll never forget and start and just say forever now? How many t-shirt companies are out there last night feverishly getting that printed up on a shirt and out the door for sale? Like, if it's grim, go be the Grim Reaper.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it doesn't get better than that.
No, it does not get better than that.
To just rip that off in the moment of a post-game press conference? I mean, you got to think about lines like that. Like, you got to come in pre-prepared with lines like that. And he just ripped that one off and was just like, what? Yeah.
It absolutely fantastic. All right, so that's what you had with the Bengals and the Titans. Niners and Packers in the aftermath of that. Aaron Rodgers. And what will happen with him. I think he's done in Green Bay. We'll wait and see.
Now I do. I didn't think he would have been had they, you know, kept advancing. Have you ever seen a team play as poorly as San Francisco played to win a game?
No. Well, I mean, it's happened. I think this was the fourth time since 2000 that a team had played without scoring an offensive touchdown and won a football game. I don't know if it was a football game or a playoff game, but it's happened. But it's happened a little bit. But no, they looked. Garoppolo was not good. They did nothing offensively. And how about the kid from K-State with the block up the middle on the extra point play, Willis? Just a fantastic play. And how do the Packers, how can you be that bad on special teams to allow that play to happen? Deep six, the snapper, right up the middle. Right up the middle.
Not for the just block that. On so that after, play. Did you see, Bruce, after all the just like, I mean, that was as such an awful special teams performance. Did you see that they only had 10 guys on the field on that final kick?
Yes. After all of that, they only had 10 guys on the field for the last play. I mean, unbelievable. Just so bad on so many levels for the Packers, who scored a touchdown on the first drive and then weren't heard from again.
Yeah, let's not let Aaron Rodgers escape without fair amount of criticism in this game. Because what's Aaron Rodgers' postseason record now? Like 11-11? Something like
that? Yeah, it's 11-11 or 11-10, something like that. You're right. Yeah.
Best regular season quarterback of all time, but let's not, you know, and I don't want to put it all on things like that, but for as great as Aaron Rodgers is, it's not like he hasn't had opportunities to go to more than one Super Bowl. I mean, they are in these moments every stinking year, and he's been to one.
Right.
So, as we think about legacies and all these things, he's been to one.
And he won it.
Yep.
Yeah, legacy is a funny thing.
I mean, he was 20 of 29, 225 yards. He wasn't bad. Yeah. He wasn't making a bunch of mistakes, but they just weren't making plays.
They just didn't. And they just weren't making plays, right?
And I don't know if that's him. I don't know. But you know, a couple of things we'll find out. Like, I know everybody loves Matt LaFleur. Let's see Matt LaFleur without Aaron Rodgers. Let's see him with Jordan Love.
Well, we've seen it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look
good.
And
then tell me about how great he is. Not saying he's not great, but let's just, you know, let's pump the brakes on his greatness as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because they win a bunch of games with Aaron Rodgers. So did Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, and again, I'm with you. I thought there was a good chance Rodgers stayed, but now, with the bad cap situation and the way that ended, and it's like, if you're Rodgers, If I'm Rodgers, I'm going to just say, Devontae Adams, let's partner up. We'll go wherever we go together. Let's go find out who can get us both there. Let's go really carefully pick our spot. Where could we collectively go? And then if you're every team in the league, you should entertain that. Not every team, but just about every team. The 49ers, hometown.
Sure.
Oh, Trey Lance, it was a nice idea. See ya. We'll trade you to the Packers or whatever you need to do. Like, all right, bye. Right. All right, come on in, Rodgers and Devontae Adams. We've got a spot for you. You know, like, where could they collectively go? I just don't, man. Unless they can, I don't know how they would fix that cap spot and bring them both back. Maybe they can, you know, do it and bring Rodgers back. But watch these games. I mean, if Rodgers doesn't have Devontae, and I know they have a winning record without Devontae Adams, but in these moments, like, he was throwing to two guys. He targeted Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams 21 times, and everybody else six times. You're going to tell me that he's ready to sign right back up with that? I don't think so.
I saw, and I wish I could give you the name of the gentleman that writes for The Athletic in Green Bay, but he calls a shot. He said March 6th or 7th, whenever the new fiscal year starts for the NFL, he says that the Packers will send Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, to the Broncos for, was it 4 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, and Jerry Jeudy. He said, mark it down.
Four firsts, two seconds,
and Jerry
and
Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
Oh, I'd do that deal if I was Green Bay.
Sure you would. You might not do it if you were the Broncos. Although
yes you would. I think you would have to. Yeah.
And they're loaded with capital. They've got 11 picks in this draft and they are $45 million under the salary cap.
Well, because remember, they've got Javonte Williams there in a pretty good line, right? Like, their line's not bad. So,
they're built to win.
You bring in those two guys, and then you just spend every ounce of draft capital you can on defensive players. But, you know, that kind of deal, because, right, Aaron Rodgers restructured to a 1-year contract. So they're both free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just trade them. They're free agents. So if you're Denver, why would you even make the trade? Just try and bring them in as free agents.
Right. Could do that.
And what am I missing on that? You know, like, how could Green Bay even trade them at this point? Unless it's like a sign and trade, but I don't know that Green Bay can do that either.
I think Adams would be a sign and trade. But I think
and then Rodgers, maybe Rodgers just has
Rodgers
an out.
Has
he may just
year.
Have an out.
He yeah, may he just, have
but
an
he has
out after,
an out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They
I,
built
I
in
have,
that
I
out
don't have
because
the exact
that was their
terms
concession.
Of his contract. Right.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's probably right.
But I will say this. Jimmy Garoppolo notwithstanding, because it's not like, I mean, he didn't turn it over. So, I mean, but the important, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, in the playoffs, forget about it. And there are quarterbacks that lost this weekend. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen. But look at the guys that are in it. Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Matt Stafford. How about Matt Stafford rising up and being counted at a time when they absolutely had to have it? And the Rams giving away all of this draft capital. And here they are at home.
Worth it.
A chance to get to the Super Bowl, which they will be hosting potentially.
The way that the way that they can play defense, I mean.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, what a day on this January 24th. Coming off an incredible four-game slate of divisional playoffs, all won in walk-off fashion. Bengals beating the Titans, Niners over the Packers, Rams beat the Bucks and Tom Brady. Haven't even really gotten to that yet. The Chiefs, of course, and the Bills. Tom Brady wise to walk away right now? Or does his competitive flair just say, nope, got to come back and finish it better than I did?
You know what's weird this year? I haven't even considered that he may not be back next year.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, but I haven't. And I guess I've just always assumed he's going to be back. Until the conversation kind of came up in the, last 10 days or so, I haven't considered the possibility that Tom Brady's not coming back. He's got a year on his contract. He's got, but Bucks are, Chris Godwin's probably out. And, what's their window realistically looking like? And, I don't know.
How much did Matt Stafford raise his level because of the win and the way that they got it against Brady, the Bucks on the road, despite the fact they gave up, 24 unanswered? That's not his issue.
No, not his issue at all. And I think that Stafford, as we look remaining in the postseason, Stafford has the most to gain. Mahomes' legacy is already cemented. Burrow is just getting started. I think Stafford, if he can, because he's got years left. I don't think he's at the end. If he can get some Super Bowl success here, he's going to walk right into the Hall of Fame conversation. Matt Stafford's been really good over his career, and he's played for probably the worst franchise in football right now. And he's been, he's been good despite it. And now if he can get in there, because what part of the Rams would you see here that makes you think the Rams aren't built to go for a little while, right? Now that Stafford's there, Akers appears to be healthy-ish. He's back. He had a big misfire late in the game on that fumble, but he's back.
At the end of the first half, too. He had two huge fumbles in that game that were potentially – be that as it may, the one in particular was really ill-timed, obviously. I thought they could have put a dagger in that game with a touchdown right before the half, but be that as it may. Anyway. All right, so here's what we've got. What's the line on the Niners and Rams?
It's a tight three and a half.
3.5 there, and then it's about a touchdown on the Bengals and Chiefs. I think it's going to go probably a little bit bigger than that because I think a lot of money is going
to
be on Kansas City.
8.5. That money is going to flood into Kansas City right now.
I would think. So, all right. Anyway, we'll leave that be and get into this more as the week goes by, but obviously – with the time that we have spent here and the reaction we have gotten it's been as good as it gets. All right. KU beat K-State in a hell of a game that otherwise probably would have dominated conversation today. Maybe we get into this a little bit more coming up tomorrow. Maybe we get into the Shockers and where they are right now, and if and when they're going to get back to the business of playing basketball. But I'll tell you what, the KU-K-State game, you talk about shifting fortunes and the tale of two halves. What an incredible win by Kansas.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of K-State fans since that game happened. And I think everybody I have talked to kind of had the same gut feeling at halftime. And for me, it's not even a knock on K-State. It's just the situation that was there with Bill Self just losing his dad.
Yeah.
You could feel a KU second half come. Like you almost knew it was coming. Gosh, K-State. They are so stinking close. And
yes, they are close, but they're not quite there, are they?
I know, and that's a tough one. I get the sense that this team is united behind Bruce Weber. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I don't know that it's an abandoned ship kind of team in the offseason. Look, they're going to have plenty of opportunities to get enough big wins, I think. Let me see where they are in the net this morning now. But there's a lot of volatility this year, and just because of the league they're playing in, I mean, they're 63 in the net right now.
Yeah.
They can rattle them off, and the reality is, what have we said about them all the way through? They're going to be a bubble team, right? And they got to be seventh in the league the Big 12 could send eight teams, but, I mean, it's almost certain that they'll send seven. So right now at 2-5... you've got to basically be better than West Virginia, Oklahoma State, TCU for sure, and then maybe Oklahoma, Iowa State slipping. I mean, they're 2-5. They're sitting right there, a game behind Oklahoma State, a half game behind West Virginia, and tied with Iowa State and Oklahoma. So for Kansas State, there's going to be so much left on the table for them just by playing in the Big 12. That I would still have an immense level of confidence if I was Kansas State. I think what happened Saturday had more to do with Kansas than it did with Kansas State because of the off-the-court circumstances surrounding the game and the emotions
in the other locker room. Yeah, I would agree with that. Right.
So,
sure.
Again, if you can – and it doesn't feel like a team that's ready to abandon ship by any means. So you just, you kind of, okay, slough it off, on to the next one. You got to go to Baylor. We knew this was going to be a brutal stretch. And then you got Ole Miss. And then when you come back to the Big 12, you got Oklahoma State and TCU. Got to win those games. You host Baylor. I think you give yourself a chance. But then it's Iowa State, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State before you have to go back to Kansas. So, look, they get some games here where even, let's say they lose to Baylor and they have six losses in the league, you could then rattle off against Oklahoma State, TCU, Iowa State, West Virginia, and Oklahoma State. How many is that? You could rattle off like five of six, six of seven, and that's probably going to be enough. So
I'll throw you a hot take. I'll throw you a hot take. 6-12 doesn't get them in. It may get them to seventh in this league. I don't think 6-12. I don't think that you can look at a team that's 6-12, for instance, in a conference and with good and in good faith put them into an NCAA tournament.
I think you can if you show a road win against Texas and you beat Texas Tech, and they'll have to pick up another Big Ten. That's why Saturday would have been so critical. But if they can then get another win over if they can beat Kansas or Baylor one time and they're 6-12 and they're seventh in the league, I think they can get in.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they're 63 in the net right now. Playing the teams that they play, unless they lose them all, it's hard to imagine them going much lower than that in the net.
Right.
And
I mean, yeah.
They'll have a lot of opportunities to elevate.
Right. Yeah, you'd love to be in the 40s. And I think that's possible for them to get to, just based on
who they're
going to be playing.
I think they'd be in the 40s. they'd be in the 40s. I bet they'd be in or real close to the 40s had they held on against Kansas. I feel like they're that close.
God, they are close. And they've lost some games that you could look back and say, literally a play here, not even a couple of plays, but just one play at a particular time in three of their losses already this year could have been made a huge difference. They are so close. I agree. Nigel Pack is next level. But, man, you got to give Kansas great credit. That was a tough environment. It always is. Playing with heavy hearts, all of the things that go with it. And they looked, for all the world, not too good in that first half. But, man, that second half was an inspired basketball team. And more power to them for winning a game like that under those circumstances. Near miss for K-State, one they may end up lamenting at some point, remains to be seen because they've got some good, I mean, they've got two wins that they can feel pretty good about as long as everybody stays the course. But they're going to need a couple more like that, I think, Jacob. I really do. I think they're going to need a couple more. So we'll see. But pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff over the weekend.
KU tonight. They're right back at it, man.
Yes, they are right back at it.
We finally get Big Monday.
Yep. So, good stuff. We'll have that to chat about, obviously. At some point, are the Shockers going to get back on the floor?
As far as I know, everything's on schedule for this week.
Okay. All right.
But it's been quiet over there.
Yes, it sure has been.
You say that. I'm trying to let me see when the next scheduled. We have a scheduled presser tomorrow at 1:15 that I assume is on. So I guess we'll find out. I mean, look, I would think that everything's fine because it'd be 10 days clear, even if it ran through, which it clearly has. You would. The history of the other college basketball teams that have dealt with this would tell you that they should be coming out of it. So I would assume everything's fine.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. But the Shockers are scheduled to play Wednesday night, right? Against UCF. And then later on the weekend, a trip to Tulane. Return trip to Tulane. UCF, Tulane, Tulsa, SMU. Coming up here in the next couple of weeks. As the Shockers try to get back on the rails for their season. All right, a little OTD to finish things off with here on a Monday. It's coming up next. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, west at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
97.5 and 1240 KFH. Tune into the
Jacob, should Tyreek Hill have been flagged for taunting?
No.
Okay.
Because that's a stupid rule.
It is a stupid rule. So is the overtime rule.
Yep. But listen, I will say I don't. I get what people are saying. Just call the rule if that's the rule. If you're the NFL that needs to clearly revisit that rule, if you throw a flag there, because what would have happened? I mean, it would have come post-play, right?
Right.
Would it have come post-play or would it have prevented the touchdown? I don't think it would have prevented the touchdown. I don't even know, which is another reason that's such a stupid rule.
No, I don't think it probably would have done that. I think you know something? I probably shouldn't have brought it up without knowing the answer. No, I think it would have been a post-play violation, even though it happened during the play. I think they would have been penalized for it afterwards.
But no, you can't, like, we all remember Dion and his struts into the end zone. Like, that's, should Tyreek Hill have done it? Absolutely not. He's got to be smarter than that. I mean, that was a really stupid thing for him to do, even though it looks cool. Like, you got to know, dude. Like, you cannot pull something like that. But no, you don't make that call. Just like there are a lot of borderline late hits, and there were even some in this game, where you say, oh, regular season, that's a flag for sure. But nobody wants to see it called in these moments because neither team is being malicious in its intent. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's trying right. to get a penalty because they know everything that's on the line. And that's one of those where you just swallow the whistle and you're glad that they did, because that would, how would you like to be having that conversation today?
I know. I mean, my God, are you kidding me? No. Yeah, that might have been taken
on one hand, though, Tyreek Hill, don't be a bonehead. Like, what are you
thinking? Don't do that. Don't do that at all. All right, let's get to it, OTD. A few things happened of note on this day in sports, January 22nd. 1947, the NFL adds a fifth official and allows sudden death in the playoffs for the first time. Don't you just love the symmetry? 1947, and the rule was very simple in 1947. First team to score wins.
And it was that field way goal. For a long time.
Yeah, sure. First team to score wins. That simple. 1950, Jackie Robinson signed the richest contract at that point in Dodgers history, being paid the round sum of $35,000 a season on this day in 1950. 12 years later, on this day in 1962, Robinson becomes the first African-American player elected to the Hall of Fame. I mean, I know that we've got 42 retired, and all of baseball recognizes it and celebrates it, but even with all of that, we still don't do enough to remember Jackie Robinson, who to me was just the most, maybe the most amazing athlete who dealt with so much in all of the last century. I mean, there's nobody like Jackie Robinson that I can think of anyway. 1964, CBS spends $28.2 million for NFL TV's rights for 1964 and the 1965 seasons. Today, the NFL has deals with CBS, NBC, Fox, ESPN, Amazon that are worth over $110 billion over the course of an 11-year run. $28.2 million on this day in 1964 for an enterprise that is now worth over $110 billion. And finally, on this day, 1999, where have you gone, David Duvall? On this day, you eagled the 18th and final hole at the Bob Hope Desert Classic at PGA West in La Quinta, California, only the third player in PGA Tour history to fire a sub-60 round with a 59 on this Goodness. Day in 1999. Former Wichita Open winner, by the way, David Duvall. Happened on this day in 1999. There you go. A little OTD to get you through a Monday. If we forgot anything over the weekend, we'll deal with it tomorrow.
Totally.
Could have sat and talked about the Chiefs and the Bills all day long, and I got a feeling that plenty of other people will follow our lead here today with Rome and then Maggie and Perloff, Bob and Jeff with the drive today at 4 o'clock. We'll get everything else set for you here coming up in a moment.